Hallelujah, hallelujah. God has spoken to us through his Son, through whom he created the world.
Hallelujah.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle even in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. But whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly be rewarded. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Father God, may I speak to myself just as much as to my friends, and may we all listen. Amen. Well, I was looking at that gospel reading today, and I wondered prayerfully how I could turn it towards a theme in keeping with Harvest Festival. And then I was touched by the idea of generosity. Jesus is talking about generosity. Later in the communion service, we offer our money to God with the following prayer. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, at your table we present this money. Symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use it, use us, in the service of your world to the glory of your name. It's a good reminder on Harvest Sunday of 2 points. God has been and continues to be generous to all. God created this world and us. God provides food and air to breathe and water to drink and people to love and be loved by. And God generously uses us all to provide all these to all the people in the world. And generosity comes in a number of approaches. I've picked 3 to look at for today. Generosity with our stuff. Generosity towards the shunned and excluded. And generosity with our orthodoxy, or what we think is right in worship. So first we think about generosity with our stuff. If you brought some stuff today to share with poorer people, thank you. If you didn't get a chance to today, or would like to do more, Derby City Mission helps people all day, every day, all year. Why not take them some food, or make a standing order to give them some money regularly? People in our city don't have enough to eat. People have difficulty with addiction and homelessness. Parents struggle to put shoes on their children's feet or to put an extra tenner on those blooming expensive prepaid meters for gas and electric. Even if you can only give a little, it means a lot to people with nothing. One of the things you can do, which I think is lovely, is give a monthly amount to Derby City Mission to help keep the night shelter going. And that helps with homeless people so they don't die on the cold streets during the winter months. Jesus often said it was good to give stuff away and to help people. In today's reading, he says, if we even give a cup of water to those bearing his name, because we will not lose our reward. And who bears his name? I think every human being bears his name, because he created all of us and took on flesh and came to earth to save each of us. And I heard about a good way to be generous with our stuff this week. And I know it's shockingly early, but it's such a lovely idea. And it fits in so well with today's theme, I thought I would share it. Thank you to Ruth Douglas for sharing it on Facebook. The idea is a reverse Advent calendar. So instead of getting something every day during Advent, like a yummy piece of chocolate, or even a measure of gin, according to some of the ones you can get these days, you give something. So you start with an empty box, and every day you put in something non-perishable but nice to eat, or to help with toiletries, etc. And just before Christmas, you take it to your local food bank or Derby City Mission, and they help people to feel loved by your generosity and to survive in this difficult world and time. So now we're doing these questions. Question number one for your thought and application, and for the discussion, reflection and art activities later is, how can I be more generous with my stuff? And then we come on to the second area of generosity that I've picked to look at today. And that's generosity towards the shunned and excluded. One of the things I really love about the stories in the Bible about Jesus is the way he showed his generosity towards the shunned and excluded. This way of life was costly to Jesus, who faced ridicule, censure, hostility, and even death for standing with rejected people. He talked to, ate with, and related to women, poor people, and those who had questionable employment. He showed love to people he was supposed to, by customs of the time, cross the street rather than talk to. And yet we often don't. We think it's okay to be horrid to or about politicians or people we don't agree with. We think it's okay to judge certain sorts of criminals because we don't have any sin, do we? He spread love, we spread division. Yet some of us do behave like a disciple of Jesus. Some of us are like him at times, which is encouraging. I read a nice article on the internet about St. Francis recently, who was known to see the face of Jesus in everyone he met. The internet account by Daniel P. Horan, OFM, describes his journey in changing his attitude to lepers. He began to hug, kiss, and give money and assistance to those he had earlier shunned. The article says, of all the things in the world, lepers were those that Francis despised most. Don't think of Francis as despising anybody, do you? But he did once. He, by virtue of the cultural norms and societal laws of the day, had every right to ignore and refuse to interact with the leper. Instead, he is compelled, despite his visceral disgust for the leper, to move beyond his place of comfort, to dare to embrace the other. Francis is moved by something, love, the Holy Spirit, to shirk the cultural expectations in order to enter into a new way of living in the world. what Francis reminds us today is that in order to follow more perfectly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Franciscan rule begins, we might have to stand against our culture by standing with others, the lepers of today, the forgotten and the voiceless and the poor. You might fill in your own substitute for leper, especially in Normanton. So my question to you and to me on this second aspect of generosity is, how might I more often and more fully stand with those that others reject or ignore? And then I'm coming to my third aspect of generosity, which is generosity with orthodoxy. In today's gospel passage, even before Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, his believers are peddling division. They said, "Shall we stop him from casting out demons in your name because he doesn't follow us?" In other words, if you don't say the right words, believe the right theology, or practice your religion in the right way, then you are not one of us and we want nothing to do with you. Jesus stopped them. He said, "Let him carry on. But people can't do works of power in his name and soon after speak against him." I don't think we have been listening to Jesus. Jesus urges us to follow his way of love, truth, and unity. His power and beauty as the Christ from the beginning of time ought to encourage us to take this seriously. But even his earthly friends were more interested in being right. Today matters are worse. When I looked on Google, there are estimates of 30 to 40,000 different types and denominations or sects of Christian in the world. I read about a book called A Generous Orthodoxy by Brian McLaren. On the blurb about it on Goodreads, it says, "A generous orthodoxy rediscovers the mysterious and compelling ways that Jesus can be embraced across the entire Christian horizon." If that book really did that, it would be amazing. But I think in places in the book, Brian isn't kind. And the reaction to the book in some quarters has been mean. People feel criticised if their understanding of things is not confirmed as the correct way of seeing things, often to the exclusion of others' opinions and experiences. So how can we be generous towards each other, believing others to be at least as right or wrong as ourselves? How can we build unity among people who say they love and follow Jesus? We can look for beauty in another's way of worship. If we are noisy by nature, we can seek the still small voice in silence. If we like upbeat modern worship, we can see beauty in historic liturgy and traditional hymns. If we crave tradition, we can see excitement, energy, and joy in new worship songs. If we are evangelical, we can admire Catholic humility and obedience. If we are Catholic, we can admire evangelical knowledge of the Bible. If we have traditional understanding of the Bible, we can be willing to discern the work of Holy Spirit in leading some to new truth and emphases. And if we are more progressive, we can remember the faithful traditional believers who have gone before and respect those who still walk with them. I think this gospel reading and other quotes from Jesus show that being generous about our shared orthodoxy, rather than clinging to our group's beliefs or traditions, is very important. So the question for this generosity is, How can I love people who believe different things to me and still feel safe in my relationship with God? I want to leave you with an encouraging story about this. It's about a friend of mine who is an Anglican vicar on a working class housing estate. He got a lovely phone call from a wonderful Roman Catholic colleague. His opening words were, "I hear you are the only clergy person on your estate now." My friend said yes, and that it was tough at present. His response was beautiful. "Well, we Catholics need to work with you and find out what we can do to share the gospel and heal things. I'm so sorry we have no one to send at present, but I'm retired and want to help." My friend began to weep because he knew that the priest understood that the gospel of Jesus is bigger than any church. It is kingdom first. So friends, let us be generous in all ways and look forward to the day when Jesus' generous kingdom will be fully established. Amen.